Welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily roundup of some of the stories our reporters have been covering across the UK today. And as you might expect today, a lot of the focus is on Donald Trump's state visit, but there are a few other things going on as well. We're at the inquest of a teenager who died from meningitis, and we hear from the winner of the Great British Sewing Bee.
I wanted to regain the joy and freedom of sewing.
But as you might expect, we start in Windsor, where it's been a day of pomp and ceremony on day two of Donald Trump's second state visit to the UK. We've had reporters covering the events and reaction from the public in both Windsor and London today. We start with our political reporter, Georgie Prodromou, who takes us through what's been happening so far.
Carpet is really getting rolled out now as the President and First Lady spend the day with the royal family, starting off with a carriage procession. They'll pay their respects to the late Queen and watch a military ceremony with a red arrows fly past before the white tie state banquet tonight. A reporter, Claire Bode, was waiting at Stansted Airport yesterday as Air Force One touched down.
It was 8 minutes past nine. President Donald Trump touched down here at Stansted Airport. He held onto his wife Melania Trump's hand as he came down the stairs and was greeted by Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper and members of the Royal Air Force. He then gave just a quick look towards all the media and photographers here before hopping into his helicopter, where he was then taken to the US Ambassador's residence.
It's the sound of helicopter blades thumping that first alerted everybody gathered here to the arrival of the President. It touched down behind the trees here just in front of me off the Outer Circle Road next to Regent's Park. The roads here have been lined with police vans and officers for hours ahead of his arrival, which is just the start of the major security operation for the rest of this unprecedented visit.
President and First Lady have been greeted by the Prince and Princess of Wales before this carriage ride with the King and Queen too. Our senior reporter, Zoe Head-Thomas, has been catching up with residents who are hoping to get a glimpse of the President.
You're wearing a lovely skirt. Are you able to describe to us what you're wearing today and why it was important for you to come here?
Union Jack. It was important because I live in Windsor, and the police has been swarming around for days now, getting in preparation for the visit. And we usually come for all events down to Castle.
Later this afternoon, they'll watch a beating retreat ceremony and take part in the white tie state banquet with speeches from the King and the President.
Why are you so drawn to Donald Trump and his politics, his policies? What is it about him that you're such a big supporter of his?
He loves his country. UK and America, they are like sisters and brothers, security partners, business partners.
I'm here in support of Trump because I think he's a great guy and he's sorting out the world peacefully, one by one, bit by bit, in my opinion, yeah.
I think that the government have played a blinder with it because they're totally pandering to his massive ego, which he'll love. And as a country, I think that we probably will get something quite good out of that. So I think it's a necessary evil, perhaps. So I'm not protesting against the visit, I'm protesting against him as a man.
So I came last time for the French one, Macron, and it was really nice. They had shut all of it down. They had the carriage going across.
I think that was much more celebratory, and I think there was a lot of sort of friendliness and a welcome from basically our nearest neighbour in mainland Europe, and there was a lot of pro-European sentiment. And that was very much a celebration. You know, there was an open-top ride in the streets.
You could see a lot more, and there was much more public involvement. But for this one, I think they've just kept it behind closed doors because of the protests that have been happening up and down the country.
Thousands of people have descended on the Capitol to protest this state visit. There are people of all ages here, including children, and as you can hear, banging drums, and hundreds of signs are being held up reading things like no to racism, no to Trump, and Trump for prison. This march is making its way down to Parliament Square, where speeches will be given to the crowd.
Well, given that 100,000 people turned out in support of Tommy Robinson on Sunday, I think it's important to show that a much larger number of people disagree completely with the far right at the moment.
The day began with a royal greeting after stepping off of Marine One, a carriage procession. Inside the castle, they'll soon be getting ready for the glitz and glamour of the state banquet this evening.
And we'll have more coverage of President Trump's state visit tomorrow, where he'll be having talks with the Prime Minister and further protests are expected. Still to come on Behind the Headlines, the council taking what's been dubbed the common sense approach to potholes.
If your gang are coming out fixing this hole, why aren't they fixing that hole over there?
And we speak to the winner of the Great British Sewing Bee. But first, a coroner has concluded that neglect from paramedics contributed to the death of a Nottinghamshire teenager. 15-year-old Zara Cheeseman died after opportunities to diagnose her with meningitis were missed. Our senior reporter Charlotte Lineker has the details from court.
Zara was described as critically unwell by the time she was treated in hospital in December last year. She'd first attended Queen's Medical Centre on the 20th and was assessed for meningitis but was discharged. The next day, an ambulance was dispatched to her home, though the coroner concluded there were gross failures in the care provided to her and that this was a missed opportunity to save her life. Today, her mum Judith spoke outside court.
Losing Zara has left a hole in our lives that can never be filled. She was empathic, funny, intelligent, and had so many dreams. She wanted to achieve a daughter, a sister, and a friend whose laughter lit up the room.
The East Midlands Ambulance Service offered their condolences and say they'll be reviewing the Prevention of Future Deaths report issued to them.
Now, following what's been called endless complaints, one council is now trying what it's calling a common sense approach to potholes. It's trialling a new system which other authorities might now look to follow. Our chief reporter in the South West, Andrew Kay, sent this from a pothole-filled lane on the edge of Dartmoor.
Today I've been learning how potholes are actually fixed. Now first the road likely has to be closed, then a type of digger comes along which removes the top of the road surface, then another vehicle comes along and smooths that over, then a third vehicle comes along with a type of filling partly made from used tyres, and that black liquid is then smoothed over by hand by a crew using what can best be described as a rake. Until now only potholes of a certain size were being treated here. The incoming new head of roads here, Councillor Dan Thomas, says it's ridiculous.
We are so used to members of the public saying, if your gang are coming out fixing this hole, why aren't they fixing that hole over there? Now, historically, the reason's been because that hole's not been reported. It's not on the list to be repaired today. I'm saying, you're here, make the repairs while you're here. It's got to be cheaper. This trial is all about the inspector looking at what meets our defect criteria, but also what doesn't and what we can fix at the same time.
In fact, this remote road here near to North Taunton had 5 defects, which would have been fixed under the old system. It's now undergoing 10 treatments all at the same time. Simon Kane is from Devon Highways.
Our team, they get vocal criticism. They get a lot of criticism to say, why are you fixing this but not fixing that? We're interested to see how it pans out and how much extra work we actually deliver.
This trial will now last 7 weeks across 3 different parts of the county. I'm told if it proves value for money and also more time efficient, it could be rolled out to other parts of Devon by Christmas.
Now, we were all so shocked on Sunday to hear the sad death of boxing legend Ricky Hatton. Today, his family have posted a new statement on Instagram saying he was excited for the future and seemed to be in a good place. The 4-time world boxing champion was found dead at his home in Hyde in Greater Manchester on Sunday morning. Today, our reporter Harry Booth has been at Hyde Town Hall, where a book of condolence has been opened.
Already, dozens of pages are filled with heartwarming tributes. The word legend features in nearly every message. Another in front of me says, thank you for being an inspiration to many, a champ to the end. The book is surrounded in the town hall with pictures from Ricky's career, including his legendary bout with Floyd Mayweather. Flowers have also been brought in with the petals sprayed blue, a nod to his love of City. These people have come out to pay their respects.
We did a song called Matchstock Men and Matchstock Cats and Dogs. He used to sing it on karaoke in his mum and dad's pub. And I thought if I bump into him, I'll always say thanks and have a natter.
You know, he's an incredible guy. Had a beer with everybody.
He was lovely lad. I lost my son in his 40s, so I know what it's like. That he's just too young to die.
The book will stay open until Ricky's funeral, when it will then be presented to the hitman's family.
And finally, spoiler alert if you haven't caught up on the final of the Great British Sewing Bee, but it wrapped up with a dramatic final last night and we are going to hear from the winner. Kaz, who's from Staffordshire, took the crown with her design inspired by her open heart surgery 4 years ago.
I wanted to regain the joy and freedom of sewing as a teenager. And I certainly did that. I would recommend anyone applied. Truthfully, you really have no idea what you're capable of.
And the final garment was modelled by her daughter.
Florence has been my inspiration for making more outrageous clothes, clothes that I wouldn't wear anymore. We don't create them together, but there's a journey with it. And so having her with me was actually really relaxing. And she's got a cracking sense of humour. And obviously we just get each other.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our website and across our social media channels, including TikTok, Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to come back here tomorrow, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the Rayo app. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.